Hey everybody, it's Scott from DVC-Rental.com. If you're playing a Disney vacation, definitely check us out, as we could typically save you around 40 to 50% off of Disney's prices for all of the deluxe Disney resorts.
Hello, welcome to the DubDub Review, the news edition of the DubDub Review, that is. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by our special co-host today, Tim Van Swole. Tim, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Tim, thank you for waking up early with me. So people really get the full scope of the news today. What time is it right now, Tim?
It is 6:24.
So somebody was good enough to come on with me at 6:20 in the morning to record a news show, so I appreciate that.
Not a problem.
All right, buddy, you got coffee? You got your breakfast in front of you, or do you already have that?
Breakfast come later, but I do have the coffee, so.
Me too. I got the coffee rolling. All right, so before we talk about the news today, I want to actually, you know, give full disclosure. So we try to delay the news stories as long as possible because we want the news to be as fresh as possible. And in the world of Disney, Universal, Busch Gardens, SeaWorld, legitimately, if you record on a Tuesday and release on a Thursday, you're already almost outdated. So this doesn't get any fresher than right now. It's going to be released in just a few hours from today. So in saying that, we don't want to bury the lead. We just want to touch base on it. But today is going to be the official public release of Avengers Endgame. So no spoilers here. But Tim, you got tickets?
Oh, I do. Yeah, we're not going to be able to go till Saturday, but we've got Saturday evening tickets already bought.
Nice. Is it one of those 3D or the like the special movie theaters that have the recliners and whatnot?
It does have recliners. We're not going to be in 3D or anything like that. It's just the standard screen. But yeah, we do have a nice reclining theaters.
Cool. Steve. We're going to go this weekend. We don't have tickets bought. I know it sounds like, yeah, right, you're going to get tickets. No, we're going to get tickets. It's going to end up being a Sunday morning, late evening type show, but we're going to see it this weekend, just a matter of when we fit it in. So what are you most excited for in the movie coming up?
I'm a storyteller at heart, so I think it's just I'm looking forward to the next chapter in the story, even though it's, you know, an end mm-hmm. to the story, but it's also going to be a beginning to other stories almost inevitably. We know this; they're not going to shut down Marvel and stop making money off of this machine.
Correct.
But I just loved where the stories are going.
You know, I think what really buoyed my hopes for this to be a great story was with the Hollywood premiere and having all the actors say that there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And the critics have all given it like 4 stars and said it's completely worthy of all the hype. So it really makes you glad to know that they're not falling on their face with the, you know, the final chapter of this. So one of the things we do around dinner is, you know, we'll watch YouTube. And one of the things is, as odd as it sounds, is we like watching, there are channels that just promote the movie previews for upcoming movies for the spring, for the summer, for the fall. And seeing the X-Men movie, it's called Dark Phoenix, is that correct?
Yes.
So seeing Dark Phoenix, the preview for that, and really knowing the comic books and how, you know, the Marvel universe and the X-Men universe kind of play along, like, you know, there's another huge chapter waiting to be written, and seeing how it looks, it's just like, ooh, you get goosebumps when you watch stuff like that at, you know, at dinner time. So completely excited.
Yeah, that looks the previews look really great for that. I've a lot of the diehard comic fans I've heard that are not real thrilled with where they think it's going, but it looks amazing to me.
Okay. Last piece, and it won't be a spoiler, obviously, because we haven't seen it, but Build-A-Bear Workshop. I have a 7-year-old daughter. So Build-A-Bear Workshop released a Thanos bear. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they released a Thanos Bear. You got to be part of like the Build-A-Bear like special club to actually order online, and it's $40. But for an additional $7, like you could actually have like a little like chip inserted where he'll speak, and he's got like 6 phrases. And they were talking about how potentially the 6 phrases, or at least a few of them, could be spoilers for the movie. So how odd would that be that Build-A-Bear Workshop would release a Thanos Bear that might actually contain spoilers for the movie? So pretty bizarre. But
that's crazy.
I will say that as far as villains go, I mean, there are people, I mean, Tim, we're a similar age. So, you know, when we grew up, Darth Vader was the villain, you know. Oh, but I got to honestly tell you that as far as the number one villain, I got to tell you that I just see Thanos as, you know, between being empathetic and actually believing in his cause, but is it being as villainous as he is and as powerful as he is, I think he's the number one villain, at least in my mind. And then, of course, the Emperor goes and has his cackle in the most recent preview from the Star Wars convention. And it's like, oh, man, there's too many good villains coming out there right now.
That blew my mind. I'm like, how?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my next obsession. So,
all right, let's get to the news. We got a lot to talk about. As soon as we finish up the last news show, we kind of let it sit for about a week or so because we wanted to make sure there was enough news to actually have a news show. And then as I started researching it, I wasn't sure. I was like, how much news is going to be out there? And like, legitimately, I was like, I got 15 news stories. That's too much. I got to pare it down. So we're going to actually miss some news because, frankly, we don't have time for all of it. So first things first. So, Tim, the last time we talked with Michael and Peter, we talked about the Epcot Forever Nighttime Spectacular on October the 1st. You an Illuminations guy, or are you more ready to see that go and have something else come out?
Both. I am an Illuminations guy, but it has played its time out, I think, and I think it's time for something new. I mean, moving it, they're reimagining Epcot, so it seems fitting that they would reimagine Illuminations 2, and with all the technological advances they've made in the last 20 years since Illuminations has been running, it only seems fitting that they would go some different direction, and I'm sure whatever they do is going to be amazing. I will miss Illuminations, but I'm excited to see where they go.
So, Epcot Forever, so I'm just going to kind of paraphrase from what I read, and I actually did take a few notes here. So, it's going to be the music. It's going to be the music that's the star of the show. So, they've given the ability to a guy named Don Harper, and he's the essentially the conductor and composer, and he's producing the music for this Epcot Forever show. He's credited. These are the works that Don Harper's worked on, the movies. National Treasure, Training Day, Armageddon, The Rock, Twister, Broken Arrow, and Speed. And these are all like big summer blockbusters with big scores. If you think of the movie like The Rock in Armageddon, you know, they have big musical scores, emotional scores. So to combine that with some of like the classic Epcot music, you know, you're right. Like with the technological advancements and throwing in classic Epcot music into the show, it's gonna be amazing. And I'm not even a fireworks show kind of guy. And like, I'm excited to see this as I read more about it and I watch what the flying kites look like at nighttime. This is gonna be amazing. So
yeah,
I couldn't be more excited to see this. And you know, like I mentioned in the last show, I'm not a big like, oh my gosh, I got to see Illuminations, but this has got me really excited.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn. We're going to be down there the first week in August, so we're going to get to see the last, you know, some of the last Illuminations shows, which I'm excited to, you know, kind of do the farewell. But I don't know how long this Epcot Forever is going to run, and I'm worried that I might not get to see that because I really enjoy seeing the retro parts of the Epcot nostalgia.
You go down once or twice a year. You're going down a couple times this year, but this has got to be at least a couple year run. It won't be a limited release. This has to go for a couple years at least, I think.
I hope so.
Or they could design it like the electrical water pageant where it's only supposed to run for the summer and then it's been going on for what, 30 years now plus, 40 years now plus, right? At this point.
Yeah.
So, all right, next story. So something that appealed to me and may not appeal to you, but you never know. So Magic Kingdom just released a new menu, a new guide. Did you hear about this?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so full disclosure, for 14 years, I'm not what you call a vegetarian. So we will eat fish, we will eat shrimp. So there's a weird term called pescatarian, but I don't identify it. I would consider myself more of a vegetarian, but like I said, I do eat fish and shrimp. So they put out this new vegetarian food guide. So we're not going to get all crazy into this because people are like, the best part of Walt Disney World is the food. And they've got some really good like red meat and chicken options. I'm aware of this. Even as a vegetarian, you know, I'm aware of this. But it's really cool. They've got this plant-based cuisine guide for the Magic Kingdom. And they list, you know, restaurants and carts in every land. And you would think there was only a few. There's a ton. There's a ton of great options. So I'm gonna mention two items with a couple different spots. And you tell me which one you're going to pick. All right, buddy? We're going to go through it quickly.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
All right. So we're going to go with, first off, the at the Jungle Navigation Skipper Canteen. We're going to go with the Thai noodles, which has got tofu, seasoned vegetables, rice noodles tossed in a spicy soy chili garlic sauce. Or we're going to go with the noodle salad, which has got noodle, edamame, mushrooms, green mango, and cucumbers in a sweet chili sauce. What's your pick?
I think the noodle salad sounds best to me. I think I would go with that.
It sounds good. Yeah. How about Antoni's Town Square restaurant? You're going to go with the... Well, frankly, you're going to go with the house-made pizza pie, which has got cheeses and pizza sauce with fresh basil and vegetables, or the gnocchi, which has got potato gnocchi, garden vegetables, basil pesto, and Parmesan cheese.
I think I'd go with the gnocchi.
Or both. Right? Or both of
them. Well, honestly, I have a hard time imagining us ever getting to Tony's because, I don't know, I've heard that it's improved, but my wife is jaded by all the years and years of bad reviews at Tony's, so we've never been there, and I'm not sure how soon we're going to get there. But of those two, the gnocchi sounds better.
Okay. Would you ever try a vegetarian, actually in this case, it's a vegan hot dog at Casey's Corner. Would you ever try that?
Man, I don't know. I mean, I'm open to vegetarian options, but if I'm going to Casey's, I think that there's other things that I would prefer to try over the vegan hot dog.
But still a really cool option if you are a vegetarian to actually have an option. But I will say, if you're ever in IKEA, do not try their vegan hot dog in IKEA. It is not good. I'm just going to throw it out there right now. It is not a good option. All right. You ready to go for just one more?
Sure.
All right. So Be Our Guest restaurant. You ready? So you're going to get the quinoa salad, which has got quinoa with chilled green beans, potatoes, olive oil, red bell peppers, beets, and tomatoes. Or would you go with... You ready here? This is why I'm setting this up. You get the salad or you get the croissant donut. The fried donut topped with banana, caramel sauce, pastry cream, and chocolate ganache. So either really healthy or really not. Which way are you going, Tim?
I don't think you really need me to answer that, but we're going the croissant donut for sure.
All right.
It's hard. It almost feels, I mean, when I think vegan or vegetarian, I'm definitely thinking like, oh, that's a healthier option.
No.
Maybe consider that. No, it's not.
No. So if you look at the menu, so legitimately there's probably, they list things like grapes. Okay. Obviously, you know, but they have things like hummus and chips, and there's full, you know, revolutionary meatloaf at the Liberty Tree Tavern, which is plant-based meatloaf.
That actually looks interesting.
Yeah. They have like 70 items on this menu. So just for people that, you know, go and you can be vegan, you can be vegetarian, you could be a carnivore, whatever you want. They've got something for you, and good for them for reaching out, because there is a segment of the population. And as I put my hand up, me and my wife, you know, we're normal people. We would consume off this menu gladly. So really cool.
Yeah. And Dole Whip is on there.
All right. You heard about the Beauty and the Beast Lounge that's replacing Meisner's. Have you heard about that?
Yes.
Are you guys lounge people? Do you guys go and hang out at like Meisner's or Trader Sam's when you and Amy vacation?
We have not done too much of that. We have gone to a couple, but it's not something that we schedule and put into our plans. Not opposed to it. It's just we tend to not find ourselves in the resorts at the times that lounging would be more appropriate. When we go to the resorts, resort hop, we're usually going there for like a breakfast or something. So, yeah, but it sounds like someplace that I would enjoy popping into.
And the way that since I've known you guys are at the parks for a long time of the day. So I know there's a segment of the vacation population that goes to the resorts just to go to the lounge. But if you're at the parks for like 12 hours, I don't know, the thought, and I'm not a bar or a lounge person, but the thought of after 12 hours at the parks and like 25,000 steps of going there and having a drink at the end of the night, I just want to go home, take my socks off, and put my feet up in bed because I'm like pretty tired from the day.
Right.
But
and we tend to go on we're on the dining plan, so we've spent time at the restaurants and had, you know, a drink of choice at the restaurants and things. So by that point, like you said, I want to just put my feet up, and I don't want to put anything else in my belly.
Okay. So let me just describe this to you, and we'll talk about this quickly. So Meisner's Lounge at the Grand Floridian is getting replaced by a Beauty and Beast-inspired lounge. Okay, it's going to have four unique spaces. The first is going to be the chandelier, which looks like a giant golden rose. And with pictures of it, with the artist concept, it is pretty stunning. So it's called the Signature Bar Will Glow from the Light of a Gold Chandelier that takes its inspiration from Belle's flowing ball gown with subtle nods to Beast's magical rose. So it actually does look like a rose. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Formal library. It looks like a library with French furnishings inspired by Belle with hints of Beast's friends. The garden room is a whimsical space that draws inspiration from the Enchanted Forest. And the outdoor patio will evoke the romance of Beast's Garden Terrace.
It's French.
It's French, right? It's early too. It is French. So, what do you think? Would that get you in there to at least check it out once?
I think so. I think I would enjoy that. My first reaction when I heard this was like, Beauty and the Beast doesn't seem to fit at the Grand Floridian. But and I noticed that you emphasized the word inspired. It's not themed after the Beauty and the Beast. It is inspired, and I think this is a great example of what that means. And it's not going to feel like it's Beauty and the Beast. It's just the decor has been inspired by it. So it looks really cool. I really thought it was cool in the concept art. The library, it looks like a library with the way they have shelves and things in the background, but it's bottles of liquor and wine on the shelves instead of books. But from a distance, it actually looks like a library shelf.
So like two refined gentlemen like you and me could go there and have a refined drink, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to Jake and Elwood throwing shrimp in each other's mouths, which is kind of what I'm imagining more what would happen.
Well, we can do that too.
Between you and me.
But elegance is what they're selling there. That's its tie-in with the Grand Floridian. It's not the theme of Beauty and the Beast, but the theme of elegance, I think.
You know, the funny thing is, when you said that, I had the same thought. When I first read this, I thought, no, it should be Mary Poppins. But then I thought, would they really want like an English pub? You know, I'm not sure if that's what they're going for either there at the Grand Floridian. So, good option here.
Yes, definitely.
All right. So, what do you know about Disney's Riviera Resort? Look, we're firing through these. What do you know about the Riviera, Tim?
I know that it's opening soon, and that they've started selling the DVC memberships to that recently. I've seen it from a distance, and it looks pretty amazing, a really incredible looking place. But I'm not sure what else. I haven't got enough details. I haven't been there, so I don't know much more about it.
Well, you know what? You've got a good start here. So, you know, I don't presume to know everything about that. And that's what I got Beef Axton for and Scott Ferrioli for. But here's what I do know. They're offering an incentive right now. You can save. There's a depending on how many points you buy with the Disney Vacation Club, you can actually make a savings on this. So I know it's not, and I'm going to be wrong, so someone's going to tell me, I think it's selling for between 180 and 190 points, dollars per point at the resort.
I think that's what I heard too.
I thought 188 in the back of my mind. I thought that number, but I know that if you purchase now through May 31st, if you're buying direct, not resale, if you're buying direct, you can save up to, if you're buying like a crazy number, 300 or 350 points, you can save $6,000. So there is an incentive. The wrinkle with this resort is once you sell it, it doesn't necessarily transfer all the benefits to the next owner. You're only like allowed to stay at the Riviera as opposed to getting the other resorts when you sell it on the resale market. So there is a catch, which is why it's not selling brand new for as much as some of the existing resorts right now. But the artist concept of this is really pretty impressive. It's a beautiful looking resort. And so if you are buying retail, that option does exist. If you are buying resale, there obviously hasn't been any, but there will be some. Disney Vacation Club is strange. People buy for a bunch of reasons. They buy out of, you know, impetuous fashion when you're down there. And when you get home, you realize, Tim, we just spent $40,000 on, we can't afford that. Yeah. And they end up selling it. So retail through Disney, resale through Scott and through B. So that is, you know, usually what I recommend. So, yeah. But it is on the market right now. It is gorgeous. I would highly recommend you check out, you know, at least the, you know, the artist concept. And I know BFX was going to do a live stream from there to get us actually footage from there in the next few days. So looking forward to seeing that.
And looking at the fine print of that release, I was noticing it does have the savings, but you have to buy a minimum of 175 points, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a discount off the sale price. It does not reduce your down payment at all. So it would only be on the future things that you would be paying for.
Yeah. So, you know, it's actually relatively small. I was surprised when you look at the outside, you see it and it looks like a massive, massive building. There's going to be 300 units, at least initially. There's 300 units designed as DVC in there. So it's not nearly as big as I thought, but it is impressive. It is beautiful. That's for sure.
And the gondola stop right there.
Right there. That's the catch, is the gondolas. Speaking of what? The gondolas. What do you know about the gondolas? Tell me all that you know about these gondolas.
Well, I know that everybody was freaked out that they were going to be hot because they were not going to be air conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
But they've recently, this week, I think, or in the last week or two, they've released some pictures of, and they're assuring everybody that with the speed that they're going to be traveling at and with the ventilation in the gondolas themselves, that it's going to be plenty cool. They also released some pictures showing, like I said, the inside, showing the bench seating along the side. So it doesn't look like it's going to be overly crowded. Mm-hmm. The number of people that they're planning to put in there, I don't remember the exact number, but I think they were saying somewhere around 8 to 10 people per gondola. And I think that what they show, would people could sit on the bench during that with that number of people in a gondola. So my bigger concern would be the lightning. What happens? Because, you know, it's frequent down there. What happens when it starts lightning? Does that shut down every time that there's lightning in the area?
It's a great question. So let me fire off some stats for you then to kind of back up your statement. So it'll run, it'll be from a height of 15 up to 60 feet. They're going to travel at about 11 miles an hour. Okay, so they're moving relatively fast. And there's 300 gondolas in the system, at least right now, is the number they've released, is 300 gondolas. And I think in the Disney community, I think when things come out new, I think people love to try and have I'm smarter than you type opinion and a snarky opinion. So yeah, everyone's like, oh, it's going to be an oven, it's going to be hot. You don't think people thought about that? You don't think the Imagineers thought about that? So they talked about how they're going to be, they have, you know, tinted glass and there's plenty of ventilation. And this comes from the Orlando Sentinel. So it's a newspaper. And right now in Florida, it's pretty much summertime. I mean, I know it's not August heat, but, you know, April 25th in Florida, it's still regularly in the high 80s, low 90s down there. So they've already had a test when it's hot. They're going to be 22 Disney character themes on these gondolas. So right now, one's been unwrapped, but the rest are wrapped like they do with the cars from GM when they do the testing, when they cover them in goofy paint schemes to make sure no one can steal their, but they're all still wrapped.
I think there's more than one unwrapped. When we were down there a few weeks ago, I was watching them.
A couple of them? Okay.
They're about half wrapped.
Okay.
Half of them are wrapped, so.
Okay. The twin benches can carry up to 10 people. Okay, so you were right, 8 to 10, no problem. They're constantly moving. Okay, so it's kind of like the TTA, you know, where, the people mover, where it's going to be constantly moving. But, you know, on a ski lift too, that's constantly moving as well. So you'll have ample time. It's not going to be a dangerous situation. And there is going to be obviously a way that if something goes awry or there's a special need, there will be a way to assist that person as well too. It's not going to be simply, you got 3 seconds, get on there fast. You know, there's going to be a way for people.
Just hang on.
Yeah, really fast, get them in there. They're going to have the capacity to pause the gondolas if you have a wheelchair or if you need extra time. So don't worry about that.
Yeah, and they do. I was watching them outside of, and when we got off the bus at Hollywood Studios, I was watching them testing them. They are moving along at a much faster clip than what I would have imagined.
Well, they say the average ride can be from like 5 minutes to up to like 15 minutes, depending on your, you know, where you're going to. And there are people that already have come on board. Like for example, B-Faxon doesn't want to ride a gondola. And I'm not quite sure why that is, but I got to be honest. I'm like super excited about it. Good for them for figuring a way to ease the traffic flow, provide, and I use the word attraction in air quotes, provide an attraction, ease the traffic flow, get them above, and you know, part of the attraction of the monorail resorts is in fact they're on the monorail. Part of the attraction of the Riviera and these resorts is going to be they're on the gondola system. So I don't know. I have zero hesitations. And if you're stuck, well, what? Like you've never seen the, you know, the monorail get stuck before? I know they're like, oh, it's going to be a. It's not. It is not. I know people think it is. It's they've thought about that. It's not a hot box. You're not going to be stuck for several hours without knowing how to get them down. So,
yeah.
I'm trusting the Disney Imagineers to come up with a good option and a good solution for this. So
there's some pretty smart people that have done some amazing things. I'm in the same boat with you. I'm going to trust them to be on the right page.
So today you got the option. Me and Tim are down at Disney with our brand new guys trip, our yearly guys trip. Me and you, we're inviting all the guys with us. We got an option. We're going to take the bus. We're going to take the ferry boat. We're going to take the gondola. What's the most exciting thing for you out of those?
Well, I always love a good boat, but I think it would have to be the gondola. I want to experience that.
Good, because if you said bus, I'd have to go and figure out what's in your coffee. If you said the bus is your most excited option.
No.
It's the bus, Chris. I'm pretty much the bus. All right. So, Villains After Hours, okay? The Villains Unite the Night show.
Oh, yeah.
What do you know about this, besides it doesn't contain Thanos right now? But what do you know about this, Tim?
I know that next week my wife is getting up early to try to get us tickets for it when we're down there in August. That's the first thing I know about it.
But that's important. That is the most important thing. Okay,
that's right. No, it's going to be an amazing opportunity. It's an after hours event that they're hosting. Like they've been hosting after hours events, but this is going to be a special themed one that's all villains. They're going to have a special stage show that is going to be hosted by Hades.
Hades, yes.
And, yeah, that's going to be really cool. They described him like appearing on stage with a flash of blue light. And he's one of my favorite villains, too. I love the humor and the sarcasm and just of his character. It'll be cool. And Meg will be there as well on stage. And then some of the other villains as well are going to show up. Dr. Facilia, I think, the queen. That'll be really cool. It's about a 20-minute stage show, they said. And then they're going to have special overlays on Space Mountain and Pirates of the Caribbean on those nights. So that'll be pretty cool. Of course, special merchandising for those nights will be taking place and special snacks and things. And then also they're going to unleash the Maleficent Dragon from the parade, Festival of Fantasy Parade, and it's going to be roaming through the park during the night. So you'll get to experience that too.
You're awesome. You almost aced it. The DJ who is going to start the night for you introduces your caretaker, which of course is Hades. Meg's there. You're right. Jafar, the Queen, Dr. Facilier, Maleficent, Henchman, Scott Farioli, all the villains show up for this thing. Scott's not listening. Don't worry. We're good. There's several of these productions per night. In case you missed the first, there's several of them. But there's going to be, like you said, there's a party and there's food and there's overlays. So really cool. After hours tickets, $139 plus tax in advance. $144 plus tax on the event night. Okay. AP and DVC members get a $30 discount and can purchase tickets for $109. Okay. It goes on sale April 29th. So you're talking really 4 days, 3 days from now. Okay. Most of the after hours events cost $125 plus tax and $129. So it's a little more than these most of the after hours events. So it's a little higher priced. But still, I think the idea to see these guys is pretty cool. And I know with these after hours events, you can get in early. What is the hour? And if I had Amy, she would know. Sometimes it's early as like 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something along those lines. Is that correct?
I think they're saying 7 o'clock for this one, if I remember right.
Okay.
Be your entry time.
Okay. So it is a little earlier, but it's a little more expensive. Is the cost prohibitive to you?
Well, we are AP holders right now, so that helps us a little bit. Cost is definitely a factor. That's a cost that makes us really have to plan a little extra and make a few extra cuts, but it sounds so amazing that we're going to find a way to make it happen. But yeah, it's not a non-consideration for us.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take you to something that's near and dear to your heart. So tell me again, Tim, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, what's your excitement level? 0 to 10?
I'm a 10 as in excitement that they are doing it, for sure.
Okay.
As far as like being in a hurry to get there, I think my excitement's more like a 7.
Okay.
I'm not to the person that feels like I need to be there at the opening. I'm willing to let the crowds, I don't know if I would say die down, because like Pandora is still crazy. So it's going to be a while before crowds go down at Star Wars. But let them work out some of the bugs and figuring out how to, you know, set up queue lines and where they should go, and, you know, make it work a little bit smoother before I get down there.
Hence why they've installed at the Hollywood Studios the guest assistance employees, you know, the cast members specifically at that park to answer questions and to diffuse hot, intense situations. So yeah. I know they've positioned them around there. You're a merchandise guy. I know that because if people don't know Tim has a t-shirt game that's second to none. Tim must have just a whole closet full of awesome Disney t-shirts. So you're a merchandise guy. So they talked about some of the merchandise locations in Galaxy's Edge. So tell me, are you stopping at these or not? Are you going to buy a hand-built lightsaber at Savvy's Workshop? Are you interested in visiting the Droid Depot and you can construct your own individual droids? Are you going to go to the First Order cargo where you're going to be able to go and, you know, search through the gear, uniforms, supplies, stuff along those lines? Or Resistance Supply, which is going to have the standard uniforms, pins, badges, hats, helmets, jackets, maps, tools, etc. Something that you're really excited for is the merchandise, or it's just like, yeah, it's nice, I'll buy something?
Oh, well, I'm definitely excited to look at it. I enjoy window shopping, if nothing else. All of those things sound cool, like building your own droid. Anyway, of course, I have to ask myself, where am I going to put all this stuff? That's always the question.
In your classroom.
Oh, yeah, I need to. I don't know if I trust those guys, though. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, kids, if you're listening.
There might be some listening, too. So
there might be. I got to dump this in there. After our special episode that we did last year on Mickey's 90th, the other night on the bus on the way home, I was trying to get the kids to calm down. They were all excited on the way home from a track meet. And they said, can we listen to a podcast? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine, as long as I can't hear it up in the front of the bus. And one of the kids said, can we listen to the Dub D Dub? I'm like, you can absolutely crank that one up. That's fine.
Yes. Shaping hearts and minds. I love it. Very good.
That's right. But anyway, back to the merchandise. I definitely would like that. I would love to have one of those handmade lightsabers. I don't know that I could bring myself to pay for it or to be that nerdy that I would have to carry it around. I'd have to find something that I could do with it, like directing traffic at school with my awesome lightsaber. Or something like that.
So Tamara has a giant Mickey hand that she puts out at her school to welcome kids with her giant Mickey hand. So it's entirely possible you have the lightsaber to direct traffic down the hallway.
Oh, yeah. And I got my Mickey hand in my drawer at school, too. I use that on special days. So
nice.
It's fun. Yeah, I love the merchandise. I bought a Lucasfilm hat when I was down there last time. So I gotta have my Star Wars stuff.
Will you buy one of the Coke bottles that's, you know, in Arabish, you know, for the Galaxy's Edge? Will you buy that? Will you not drink it? Will you keep it on the shelf? Or does it mean that much to you?
And see, my initial reaction is I got to have one of those. But then when I start thinking logistics of what am I doing with this, I don't know that I would get one and keep one. Or if I did, I would keep it for a while and it wouldn't make the long haul in the house. It would end up being trash sometime.
Coming soon to eBay, you know, right? The Coke bottle filled with Coke for, what, $80 or something like that. So,
yeah, exactly.
All right. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad is delayed. So how excited were you for this at the studios?
I was very excited. I thought I was going to get a chance to see it.
Mm-hmm.
but it looks like it's delayed until 2020 now.
Yeah, you know, it's not that far. It was supposed to open in fall of 2019. Now it's spring of 2020, so 6 months, 8 months back.
Yeah, but I am excited about it. I miss the Great Movie Ride. I love the Great Movie Ride, but like with Illuminations, I think it was time, and, you know, with the Turner Classic Movies contract being up, it was a good time to actually bring in a Mickey-themed ride into the parks. Mm-hmm. And the delay is inevitably because they're trying to make sure they get it right. You know, this is going to be new technology that they haven't done before, the whole, I think, 4D, is that what they're calling it,
mm-hmm.
experience. So I'm okay with the delays if it means that they get it right.
What about, like, the Mickey shorts? They, you know, obviously for these characters that are modeled after, that you would watch at the Disney Resort. Are you a fan of them or not?
I'm mixed. I like them. I kind of enjoy, it's Mickey, so if there's something Mickey, I'm gonna enjoy it. It's definitely gone in a newer, more modern direction.
It's edgy. It's edgy, like angry, crazy Mickey. You know,
it has elements that remind me of the old Ren and Stimpy. Yeah. So, which I enjoyed to a point, but I think that it's good for the new generations. I mean, they're not just building stuff at Disney for nostalgia. They have to go in some new directions too, and so I think it's good.
You know, I agree with you 100%. And again, we're the similar age, but if you don't reconnect with, you know, the demographic of frankly your kids, and my kids are a little younger, if you can't connect, they're not necessarily connecting with the Mickey that we know and the Donald that we know in the stories. So if you can't figure a way to connect, like, shame on you. You've got a product that's got to last for hundreds of years or 100 yeah. years. You know, if you can't figure a way to make those people as committed as we are, then yeah, I mean, that's how businesses fail. So good for them. They've kind of reinvented it. Whether it sticks or not, I don't know. And there will always be a market for classic Mickey, obviously, and Disney history. But I applaud them for trying this. And actually, you know, when we get to the resort afterwards, when the kids watch it, they always look forward to watching it. If I could, you know, if they had a choice of watching that or watching Stacy, they're going to watch that. And honestly, I like watching it too. It's funny. It's good. You know, I think they're enjoyable.
I'll put those on in the background for just background noise while I'm getting ready in the morning or trying to fall asleep at night. I'll just have the sleep timer on and have the Mickey shorts going.
Okay. Last Disney news, and then we got a little bit of Universal news. So have you seen the Rivers of Light show at Animal Kingdom, Tim?
I have. I've seen it. I think I've seen it twice.
Okay. Enjoyable? Yes? No? You liked it? What was you? If it was zero being pass or 10 being I need to stop every time, what's the number?
I'm a 4 or 5.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, it's not my... It wasn't something that I feel like I need to do again with its original. And that was with the characters on the floats when I saw it, too. And then when they removed the people from the floats, it didn't sound any more interesting to me than initially.
Okay, so in 2017, the Rivers of Light show debuted. And you know what? Your opinion is shared by a lot of people. It was like, meh. And that's not good. Good enough, though, that like they're redoing it right now. So, Memorial Day weekend, so we're talking about a month from now, in 2019, Rivers of Light, We Are One, it's a revised show with additional imagery, familiar animal characters from the Disney Nature films, along with classic moments from the Disney animation. And the soundtrack's going to be updated, with including the original Rivers of Light music and alongside familiar Disney themes. So, yeah, I think they're looking at it and saying, this isn't good, it isn't packing the house, and people are giving it 4s and 5s in their mind. So, that's not good. Excited about seeing the new one?
Oh, yeah, I wanted to give the new one a try. I think the original one, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a relaxing experience, but I think that was almost the drawback to it. It's a place to sit down at the end of an exhausting day at the hottest park in Disney. And it's very calm, almost like, you know, soothing meditation music that is part of it. And I found myself just almost wanting to nod off during it. I just, at
that's
that point,
good.
I need to get back to the hotel. But, I love Joe Rohde, and I know that his whole point of this was that he wanted to, or and maybe it wasn't Joe's inspiration, but the purpose was to keep it more, you know, in theme with the Animal Kingdom park. But it sounds to me like the new one is going to include more like characters and more things from the movies and from the Disney nature films mm-hmm. and things like that. So I think it might have a little bit more of a pop culture appeal than on the nature side of mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm. So cool. Give me a number of you're excited for this new show. If you went from 4, would you now consider it you're excited in terms of like a 7 or 8, or is it just slightly above 5 still that you're looking forward to seeing this?
No, I think anything new, I'm going to give it a shot, and I think I'm at a 7 or 8, yeah,
cool.
for sure.
Cool. Let's get into your area of expertise, okay? So if I mention the words Centaur, Cornish Pixies, Fluffy, Devil's Snare, which are, you know, 4 of the creatures you're going to be seeing on Hagrid's motorbike adventure. What's your excitement level for that?
I am very excited about that. That is so cool to see a new ride come into the Harry Potter world. I think that'll be it'll be fantastic. Not that they needed anything to draw more people there, but it's nice to see that they're continuing to expand mm-hmm. in those creatures. Like looking at, I have in front of me on the computer right now, looking at some of the pictures, and it looks incredible. The Devil's Snare.
Incredible.
Yeah. And the Centaur. I think that'll be really fun to see.
So we talked about this in the last news show. Let me give you a few things here to think about. It's going to travel forward and backward at speeds of 50 miles per hour. Okay. They're going to be planting, or they've planted already, 1,200 live trees. That's a pretty cool number just to think about that as well, too. So 12 yeah. to make the forest and the environment. Height requirement's going to be 48 inches. So, you know, it's not one of the 54 hyper, you know, hyper coasters that you have to be on, the 54-inch tall. So it's 48 inches, which is obviously, it's taller than, you know, Space and Splash and whatnot over at Disney. But I got to be honest with you. I'm really excited about it as well, too. It's been a while since we visited Universal. And when we go down to Florida, obviously we're DVC members. We're staying and we're probably going to visit a Disney park. We haven't been to Universal, though. We just went to Busch Gardens and SeaWorld on our last trip. And that was a really good experience. So we're going to give this a shot next time. This is going to be something that we're going to really look forward to.
Yeah. Have they shown pictures of what the ride vehicle is going to look like?
Not yet. Only the artist imagery, which shows Hagrid, obviously, on his motorbike with the sidecar. Right. It's going to feature the sidecar and the motorbike, but they haven't actually shown a picture as of yet.
I was wondering if it was going to be something along the lines of like a Flight of Passage thing at Disney, where you're sitting on your own individual motorcycle-type creature or car. Mm-hmm. It would be fun to see where this goes.
Okay, so 2 holiday-type things. The first is Halloween, and the second is actually, frankly, the holidays at Universal. Are you a haunted house guy, Tim?
I'm not, really. I'm not a horror movie and haunted house. They always sound really interesting. I'm always amazed to hear about the stuff they do, but I've just never done it much.
Okay. Would you be, like, is that something that even interests you, though, or is that, because, like, my wife and my kids, they're going to opt out of any haunted house. They don't like the jump scares and the spooky attractions. Like the tamer versions, they might consider. But things like it, Halloween Horror Nights, they're going to go. But like, I'm never going to get them in a haunted house. I know that ahead of time.
I would probably go. Like if I was down there with you and you wanted to go, I would go. But it's not something that I would go out of my way to do. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't have an experience to draw upon, so maybe I'd find out that I loved it and then want to go to all these things, but nothing is drawing me there right now.
Okay. So for the 2019 Halloween Horror Nights, which they started promoting a while ago, because this is a big deal over at Universal, there's going to be 10 haunted houses, 5 scare zones. One of them is going to be from Stranger Things, obviously. It's going to be returning for the 2019 season. You a Stranger Things fan, Tim?
I am. That sounds cool.
Okay. So it's going to be some of the scenes from Stranger Things 2 and 3, and obviously 1 as well, too. The locations include Chief Hopper's Cabin, Starcourt Mall, and whatnot. So yeah, this almost sounds like a little more tame than some of the other haunted house options they have, but pretty cool. One of the other ones they just talked about, which
yeah, I know where you're going with this,
right?
Wow.
So let me just describe this to you. So the headline is this, and the Nightingale's Blood Pit House announced for Universal's Orlando Halloween Horror Nights attraction, and this comes from the Disney Universal site. So The story is, ancient Rome is suffering its worst drought in centuries. The ruthless emperor has declared the gladiatorial games to continue on this nonstop until the rains return. The gruesome bloodshed of the games is horrifying enough, but then comes the creatures. Okay, so as blood soaks the earth, do we just, I mean, this is the dubs. Like, we don't talk about this stuff for the dubs, right?
Hey, we'll get to change the rating on this one.
What the heck? The nightingales feed on the dead and dying. The nightingales are a grisly race of creatures that have been here since the dawn of time. You may think you're familiar with their past feeding frenzies, but you haven't seen anything like this. You'll try to survive alongside the gladiators as the ravenous nightingales tear into their victims and notice that fresh blood has come into their midst. Okay, so this one sounds a little more aggressive. I gotta be honest with you. I've always been a haunted house guy, but like, I've not found a person that enjoyed it with me. So my wife is out. My kids, they tried, they're out. So when I go down there, it might just be me at Halloween time, and my family will accompany me. But once they say let's go to the haunted houses, I can guarantee you they're going to be out. So
yeah. And hopefully you'll survive so that you can come back to them. So.
I'm assuming there will be some survival. There might be a Van Swole Malik vacation in the fall where we have to go together, and then the families could just chill while we go in these haunted houses and scare ourselves.
Oh, man, just reading that one sounds over the top. Like you said, it feels wrong reading it on the show, but yeah, that one's, I love the historical tie-in. You know, I teach the ancient Romans with my students, but then it went a different direction. Probably a more accurate direction, but
right. All right. Holidays at Universal Orlando. So this is going to be our last story to talk about today. So we always think, when we think of like Christmas vacation, you and I, what is the first thing you think of if I said like Florida Christmas vacation? Be specific. What is the first thing you think about?
The first thing, Mickey's Christmas party.
Okay. And I think of Epcot. It's just where my mind goes to, is Epcot around the holidays is where my mind just runs to immediately. So Universal has a really impressive holiday celebration, and Michael with the Theme Park Brothers, they promote, and they've posted like the Christmas parade for the last few years. It's really impressive. So beginning November 16th through January 5th, okay, so that's a long time. You're talking almost 2 months right there, November 16th through January 5th. They have the University Holiday Parade featuring Macy's, larger-than-life balloons, characters, and much more. Okay, you'll be able to find Christmas in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, obviously with decor. You're going to have special music. But honestly, there's other things as well, like Grinchmas at Seuss Landing, all right? And Grinchmas and the holiday, or more specifically, the Hooliday Spectacular, right? And yeah. Wizarding World of Harry Potter, you'll find the magical Christmas at Hogwarts Castle when the sun goes down. So what do you think about that?
It sounds really cool. I think I'd enjoy doing that. I have not been to Universal at Christmas time. So being a Harry Potter fan, I can imagine Hogwarts Castle looking like it's all decorated for Christmas. I think that would be really the one thing I would be looking most forward to.
So we're Disney fans, and I think just naturally, we kind of look at Universal and we think to ourselves, Universal may not have the same offerings as Disney. We want to spend all of our time at Walt Disney World property. Until you read a little more on what Universal's offering, and it's like, ooh, this sounds really good. So
yeah,
they're doing a great job. Great for the consumer to have like these incredible theme park offerings all located close by. So I think my like last piece of advice would be, you know what? Disney's always going to have a really, you know, special place in my heart, but like everybody else in Orlando, Florida, and Florida, they're upping their vacation game for you, and their offerings are amazing. Like, don't check out SeaWorld because it's like, oh, we're going to end up at SeaWorld. That's going to be a boring day. Like, SeaWorld's awesome. It's got an amazing experience there. Same thing with Busch Gardens, and I can guarantee the same thing with Universal. That's high on our list to do a Universal-specific vacation in the, I would say, in the next few months to a year is going to be a Universal-specific vacation.
Yeah, and it's made it, they've added enough stuff that it's, I think, doing a Universal-specific vacation instead of doing a split vacation is becoming a more and more feasible thing, or almost necessary thing. If you're going for a week, you can spend a week, I think, at Universal and to be able to experience everything that's there. And I don't know that it used to be that way.
Tim, so I know Amy is a travel agent and she's been on for Universal show, and we've talked about this. maybe we got to put it into works, like the summer of 2020, like the WWE, the Edcott, the Vance Will, Malik, Nyman, Michael Black vacation specifically at Universal for a few days.
That sounds fun.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
All right.
My son's raising his hand over in the corner. He's in too. So
he's in. He's welcome. Absolutely. So you got great kids. Tim, you had something you want to talk about, right? You had a news story you wanted, or at least you had like a news rumor that you wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's been confirmed. It popped up as I was doing some research last night before I went to bed. But when we were down there a few weeks ago at spring break, when we were driving along coming into Magic Kingdom Park, there's a whole lot of construction going on the berm right in front of Magic Kingdom. The excavation, really, at that point, was all it was. But they were clearing away dirt right in the corner across from the Contemporary. And everybody's speculating, like, what's this going to be about? Does it have to do with the railroad and stuff? And one of the rumors that popped up yesterday is that they are rerouting the railroad currently. It's shut down because they're making space for the Tron coaster that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But the rumor is that this is going to be a portion of it, that they're actually going to take some of the leftover dinosaur elements from Ellen's Universe of Energy and create a dark ride portion that the Disney World Railroad will actually pass through on its route around the park.
Okay, so my immediate thought was it's very reminiscent of like the early railroad at Disneyland where they had the ride through like the dinosaur area as well too.
Uh-huh.
So that'd be really cool. I would hope, but I don't know. I don't know. Do you think you know who would know? And he's going to listen is Tony Passero. So they've talked about that area before. So Tony actually lives down there, and he's talked about that. But I don't know if anyone's given a specific reason. And I know specifically what you're talking about as far as that construction area. It's large. It's massive, right?
Oh yeah, it is.
Okay. Universe of Energy always has a soft place in my heart. You know that I'm a big fan of that ride. So
right.
Cool. What else could go in there? So let's brainstorm. If we had to throw in some additional animatronics, what else could we throw in there to kind of make it, if it wasn't the dinosaurs, what else would you throw in that area, Tim?
Oh, man. You could almost find a dead attractions ride, like almost like a make things that were left over from all sorts of attractions that don't exist anymore.
Don't exist.
Yeah. Throwing, you know, Mr. Toad over here and Snow White's Scary Adventure over here and, you know, some dinosaurs and a great movie ride vehicle. I don't know. What do you think?
You know what? It'd be like a throwback railroad. It'd be like a journey through time. I like that. Yeah. Great America does something like that for their Fright Fest, where they have like a section of the park with all like one-off ride vehicles that no longer exist. So that would be kind of neat to see some of these old ride the old Skyway, you know, one of those old bird cages, you know, stuck in the area. I like that idea. That would make me happy for sure. So.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. I want to let you get to work because I've kept you on the phone too long today. But if someone wanted to contact you, me, somebody, what's the best way to get a hold of us?
I think we spend most of our time lurking in the EdCop group, the special private group that we have, and a wonderful family that are just Disney fans and wonderful people. So that would be the easiest way probably to get a hold of any of us.
It's true. Tim's there. I'm there. Pete's there. Stacy's there. Amy's tons of people. And you are right. It is a lot of fun. So it's Edcott, EDCOT. And answer a few questions. You're in. No problem. We've even got a robot from what I understand in there. Or at least somebody that's a robot. So, all right. So for today's news show, we hope you enjoyed it. We certainly enjoyed warping through all these stories, and we know we missed some, and we apologize. We simply had to restrict some, but we're going to try and do this about every other week to make sure there's enough news. We want to make sure it's worth your time to listen to as opposed to just putting out a show and hoping we have enough news to fill it. We're going to make sure we have enough news to fill it. So every other week, catch us at the WW Review. So for downloading and listening today, we appreciate it. We would ask one thing at the end of the show. If you could go to Stitcher, go to iTunes. We've had a number of great reviews, 5-star reviews, and we are, you know, I'm almost proud to say this. If you search the word Disneyland, we're like the 3rd show that comes up. If you search the word DVC, we're like the 10th show that comes up. If you search just the word Disney on iTunes, which is just the standard term Disney, we're like the 10th show that comes up. That's amazing that we're there, and we are enjoying it. We, you know, honestly, it's like at the end of the day, it's like someone like gives you like a pat in the back and says, good job. It's awesome to see. And frankly, all we want to do is continue to put out good, fun shows and entertain you guys. So if you could go give us a review, it helps boost us up the ratings even further. We would, again, greatly appreciate that. So for my buddy Tim and for myself, we want to thank you and wish you a great day.
Bye-bye, everybody.